This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Open for Business. I'm Christine Wong. Many entrepreneurs were brought down to their lowest during the pandemic. But for Ariane Ritzel, the challenges only served to propel her forward into expanding her ever-growing foodie empire. She's here with me to share how she muscled her way through the lockdowns and her excitement in keeping this progress going onwards and upwards. Okay, so we actually last spoke to you in 2019 on the very same show, but for people who don't know who you are, tell them who you are and what you do.
All right. So my name is Noor Irene Adriana. I'm the founder of Gula Cakery. So I run 13 outlets currently. We serve hearty meals, ice cream, Mexican food, and of course, over 60 cake flavors.
Right. That's where you are now, but obviously not where you started. I believe you started in 2015, primarily from the baking perspective. And baking's always been a passion for you as well, is that
yes,
right?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. So you started on a little solo endeavor, selling baked goods, and then that's since grown from Gula Bakery in Kota Kemuning into Gula Cakery, which had a bit more of a cafe option with some savory options as well. And now you've just expanded and expanded. So what I want to talk about is the progress that you made from 2019 to right before the pandemic. Let's talk about where you were at that time.
Okay, so I started 2015. So I got my first outlet in Kota Kemuning. And then 2016 was in Gula Petit IOI City Mall Putrajaya. And then 2019, right? So fast forward 2019, I have Tropicana Gardens Mall outlet. I also have Andra by Gula Cakery. So Andra is actually my son's name. So after I got married 2017, and then fast forward 2018, he was born, and 2019 was Andra came into the picture. So we have Andra by Gula Cakery in Eco Arden City Alam. We also have it in Puncha Alam, which is Eco Grandeur. And then it all fast forward, I have a new outlet in KL East Mall, which is Gula Cakery as well. So I think every year, it was more about expanding. And the best part is when the pandemic hits, that was in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Was it 2020?
Yes, it was.
All right, okay. So just so many things going on. So during the pandemic, that's where Gula Creamery came into the picture.
Yes.
So I was just at home and we were just discussing like, you know, what should I do next? You know, I mean, enjoying cakes is nice. I mean, building like 200 over cake flavors, creating new flavors was nice. And then, you know, I said like, you know, I love kids and I know kids love ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
And we wanted something that is cooling and that is fast to just enjoy in the car or you're walking. You know, if a piece of cake, you got to share them and, you know, sometimes it might get too full. So the ice cream was like, you know what? That's a good idea, you know? So I started with my cake flavored ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
So the tagline is actually from slice to scoop.
Very cute.
So, you know, from slice to scoop.
Okay, so I just want to get a bit of clarification on this. With the Gula Creamery stuff, with the ice cream stuff, did that happen during the pandemic or before it?
It was during the pandemic.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, so it was during the pandemic. And I said that, you know, once we could open up, you know, you could dine in and things like that.
Right.
And then Gula Creamery just happened with my roti jala. So roti jala came into the picture.
I feel like we need to take like a pause because let's just clarify this for our listeners a little bit. You have primarily Gula Cakery and like
that's
you said, Andra and everything like that. When the pandemic hit, your reaction was not to like a lot of other entrepreneurs sort of focus on what you were doing then and sort of keep that focus on the pre-existing things. I mean, of course you did pay attention to those, but you just decided, I'm just going to create multiple brands during a pandemic when a lot of other entrepreneurs are sort of trying to simplify or refine what they already have. What was the thought process behind, you know, gunning so heavily towards, you know, that expansion and keeping that progress going?
I was thinking the same way as well. But, you know, I was just like, hey, I have 100 over team members that I need to take care of. And I said, like, you know, the cakes has been doing great, you know. I just needed to just ensure that people could order it via online deliveries. And I said, but I needed something new. And I didn't want to put everything under one brand, Gula Cakery, you know. And it's just too much going on and people would get confused, like, what should I get?
Was it like you kind of didn't want to put all of your eggs in one basket?
That's right. So I just felt like, you know what, let's create a brand. And I think that branding is very, very important.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to do an ice cream, it should be called like an ice cream shop.
It's connected, but it's not under the same brand.
That's right.
Therefore, there's a little bit of a divergence there.
Yes. So during the ice cream and the roti jala, so during the pandemic time, I was actually trying to survive as well. So behind the story, I was actually selling my roti jala with chicken curry at home.
Oh.
Yep. So I was doing it at home with my grandma and my mom. So I was selling over 500 roti jala pieces a day at home when, you know, we couldn't go out. I was doing deliveries. I was handling all the Lala Move and all the crazy deliveries at that time.
So during the pandemic, you were handling, first of all, you were managing, you know, your pre-existing Gula Cakery
and other
outlets.
That's
right. You also started up Gula Creamy, and then you were also kind of
cooking
going back to your roots of home cooking and selling. I mean, that is an insane amount of work.
I mean, I know. I was thinking as well, like, how did I do it, you know?
How did you do it, actually?
I have no idea, but I think it's all the support from my husband. You know, I had my son, and my husband was like, you know, you do you. You know, I know you love it, and you can't just sit and watch TV thinking that it's okay during the pandemic. So after I was selling 500 over roti jala and my sink got blocked.
Oh no.
So of course my husband's like, you know what? You need to have a small outlet just selling what you do and it's so good. So then when we could dine in a little, so we started the renovation. And then I have the outlet itself that's called Aryani's Roti Jala.
Right.
So it's under my name. And you know, the outlet is the cutest outlet ever that only sells roti jala and chicken curry.
So roti jala, okay, because the pandemic was quite, like, you know, for 2 years, like, give me the timeline of events, right? Gula Cakery, Gula Creamery, and then after that, roti jala? Like, when did these all happen?
Yeah,
you know?
So I think it was more of like Gula Cakery, and then during the pandemic, so I got Gula Cakery, then I got Andhra.
Right.
All right. And then the Gula Creamery and roti jala came into the picture.
Like, roughly when did they start happening?
I think it was like 2020 was a pandemic, so I think it's 2021.
So you sort of did, you know, take at least that 1 year when there were like really, really strict restrictions and you were sort of trying to figure out, okay, what else could I do in that time?
Yeah.
And then the moment restrictions lifted ever so slightly, you
just
went,
like,
into action.
Go, okay. You know? And then for Creamery, I actually started making ice cream from home as well. I was just trying out, you know. I said I didn't want to get all the machines and things like that. So I started buying an ice cream machine from Shopee. So I just got a small one online and then I said, you know, let's try. And when I tasted it, I'm like, oh, it's quite good. I mean, I can do better. And then after that, then just things just got into place.
Right.
And that's where Gula Creamery came into the picture. And now we have 4 outlets serving our ice cream.
Brilliant. Actually, I do want to ask you a question because you also do a lot of the ideation as well, you know. I think there are some entrepreneurs who, you know, they start off doing a lot of the, I guess, creative work themselves. And then as the business grows, they move into more of a managerial position and they sort of outsource or, you know, or let their team members sort of take care more of the creative process. Like, they kind of choose one path, right?
Yeah.
Either they kind of stay more in that creative lane or
they
go more into the business. You seem to just be doing both at the same time.
I know.
All the time.
I mean, I love what I do. I mean, it's crazy to say that I'm so into cooking and baking and idolizing how the outlet should look like. You know, even having interior designers, I'm giving my ideas. I love watching, like, references over references. And I love to do things that looks pretty, you know? So I think that's just,
I mean, what does your average day's, like, workflow look like?
Okay, so my day starts as early as 6:30 in the morning.
Right.
All right. So usually in the morning, I'll get the kids ready to school.
Mm-hmm.
And then I drop the kids to school. And the first thing I will go is to my Andhra by Gula Cakery outlet. So that's where the office is. So usually I would settle my things to do. I have a full list of things to do every morning that I checked. So then it's either doing a new recipe or managing the cakes or checking the food quality or doing new menus. So then I do that. Then lunchtime, I'll go to another outlet to check on the cake's quality. So it's more about managing and overseeing the cakes. And then I would also plan myself, like, you know, 2 hours sitting down with the team and giving out new ideas on the operation side. So,
right. So you kind of split your day in between both the creative and business tasks, which is also interesting because I think a lot of what got people burnt out during the pandemic was that inability to have, you know, multiple sources of things to do, I suppose.
And I think it's very important to just sit down and write what you want to do. And, you know, sort of like when you're done, you tick it done and you're just like, I'm relieved. So, yeah.
Also, I really wanted to talk to you about your team as well. I mean, you mentioned you have like over 100, I think 150 staff.
I have 150 staff under me right now.
I mean, and this all started, you know, in 2015 in your kitchen, you know, cooking red velvet cupcakes, right?
Correct.
I mean, what is that like? What was the journey like going from being, you know, essentially the solo entrepreneur to now managing this massive team? You know, what are the lessons that you've learned about management and your journey through learning how to do all of that?
I think number one, I think when I talk about staff, I mean, it's a never ending, it's a never ending story. But when I started at the age of 25.
Yeah.
So when I was 25, you know, I was still young. And I think, you know, everyone has their, like, you know, a bit of heat going on, you know. So I think the team was also young. So I think we both, you know, the team just couldn't, like, trying to get to know each other.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes a while. So there's a lot of miscommunication. And throughout the time until up to 150 staff, I think that I've learned to sort of like understand the team. And, you know, I always tell them, like, you know, you just need to know each other, like, you know, like you're like a couple.
Mm.
You know, if we know each other, we just need to find a balance, you know.
Right.
We don't need to be like, okay, you go with me, I go with you. You know, it's all about like understanding each other and, you know, sit down together, talk about what's happening.
Mm.
Rather than it's all about like autocratic, you know, you're like do this, do that, right. Do this, do that. I feel that I've started to slow down in terms of that and understanding people, like, okay, so let's talk about today.
Right.
What have you been doing? You know, you need to motivate people.
Mm.
And I think sometimes I need to be motivated as well. So it's crazy how I think during this era, people just somehow needs to be, you know, comfort. And, you know, you're a bit on the firm side, but you also need to understand people. So I think that's what I learned throughout the entire 7 years of handling people.
Yeah. And also, I mean, initially, I mean, I don't know about you. I'm the kind of person that I like to do things myself a lot of the time because it gives me that control, right?
That's right.
But what is it like to delegate and to learn that whole process of I've got to trust other people with this process?
You know, sometimes I'll just say that, you know what, you try first for a week and then I'll check. And then, you know, if it doesn't happen and then we figure it out.
Mm.
I've reached to that stage as well where I said, you know what, it's okay. But the first stage is let's talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
I let you do it. But if it doesn't happen or it's not up to, you know, the standards or things right. like that, then, you know, we go through it again.
And with such a massive team as well, I mean, what does your HR situation look like? Do you guys have like a department or is there any sort of training involved, like a representative?
Yes, we do. So basically, because it's a family run business,
yeah.
So I got my sister that does all the admin or the back office. So I'm not good with technology and computer. So I'm a very hands-on person. I wish I wanted to learn all that, but I feel that I have to learn the computer, that I got to do the cakes, I got to do the mixer, the ice cream machine. So there's so many things going on.
Right.
So my mom handles all the admin related things. And then I got my husband that also does the operations side for the team as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think everything just, you know, we delegate the tasks
right.
quite good.
But the family's all pitching in all together.
Everyone. So all we do is we talk about the business. So I think that's how it keeps me going.
Brilliant,
you know?
Brilliant. We do have to take a short break for some messages, but do stay tuned. I'm speaking to Ariane Ritzel, the founder of Gula Cakery, here on Open for Business on BFM 89.9.
Bribe-free ministers? BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to Open for Business. I'm Christine Wong, and joining me today is Ariane Ritzel, the founder of Gula Cakery. Gula Cakery is an F&B outlet and only one of the many brands in Ariane's growing food empire. Before the break, we talked a little bit about her progress since we last spoke to her in 2019, as well as what it is like going from being a solo entrepreneur to managing 150 people. Granted, over 7 years, but still. Now, I also understand that at some point in your career, you took part in a pitching competition and you won. Tell me about that experience. What did you do? What was it like?
Okay, so the pitching competition is actually by Taraji. It's a government's grant for entrepreneurs that is less than 3 years in the business. So it was back in 2015. So it was on September. So I opened up my first outlet and then we were just like Googling. Me and my sister was like, how do we get more money? Oh my God, we need more money to, like, you know, do this, do that. So we Googled and we saw like, hey, that's like a pitching competition like Shark Tank. So let's try it out.
Mm-hmm.
So we submitted a video. And then you got called for the quarterfinals. So it was like a 1 week of boot camp where they teach you on how to pitch properly to the judges. So then I got into semifinals and finals. So I was actually pitching about Gula Cakery. So it was like 5 minutes of pitching for 500,000 ringgit. So then I was one of the winners, you know. So I think it was just like a good starting point for me and the company when I won 2015.
Right. And since then, have you, you know, continued to pursue external funding, or has the business been good enough that you've been able to just sustain yourself?
I think, of course, there's ups and downs, and we need like financial help from, you know, we gotta Google up and see what else can we do better, and we gotta search for more funds. You know, I think when we want to expand, you know, we can't use all of our, like, you know, our savings.
Yeah,
and,
you
know,
you don't want to use your in-house resources.
Yeah,
no,
what if something happens? So, yeah, we still need to get help as well.
So, if you are looking for external funding, what are you looking at right now? What are the avenues that you're thinking of pursuing?
Okay, so, of course, one would be angel investors. Or, actually, I love to enter pitching competitions. And there's a lot of grants going on, actually, in Malaysia. So, you can actually Google up. And there's a lot of SMEs as well that is also helping out. So, I think now, there's a lot of options, but it's all whether you could submit your business proposal the right way. You know, they really want to see, like, how did you do it? So the first time I did it for the business proposal, I think it got rejected many, many times, because you really got to put in your objective.
Right.
Like, who are the people? Why do you need it? Your location. So your SWOT analysis and things like that. So I think we still need to learn on the administrative
side. So you want to basically refine your business knowledge a little bit in a sense, and your more administrative side before
you go back
into pitching, just so that you have a better shot at nailing the format of the proposal.
That's right.
Interesting. Now, of course, you know, we were talking about the pandemic, how you were doing a lot of cooking from home and then a lot of selling from home, and then that sort of became the another outlet, and so on and so forth. But upkeeping brick and mortar is not easy, right? You have a lot of overhead costs to think about, and you still managed to do that and also retain all of your staff throughout the pandemic. How did you do this?
Well, I think going back to what I was doing, like, you know, I had a number of my, I call it my loyal customers, you know, you know, from my social media. So during the pandemic time, I was really selling roti jala to help to keep up to, you know, the expenses that we're going to incur. And then apart from that, I was actually selling butter cakes from home. I was doing a lot of things from home just to sort of like get the customers to sort of remember you and getting back the memories. Because when you're at home, people say, like, you know, oh, you have to support local business and small businesses.
Yes.
So sometimes I always feel like, even though they feel that we are big, but we have more things to, like, overheads and things like that, right?
I guess
so,
you had to remind people that you started from just
Yes, that's right. So I really did the butter cakes. I was selling over 300 packs of butter cakes from home as well. So I got my team to handle the delivery. So I think over there, it sort of like somehow helped the team to feel motivated and making them feel like, hey, you know what? You know, I'm trying my best to sustain. So the team would also want to do the best as well.
When you see someone else putting in the effort, you kind of want to put in the effort too.
Yeah, that's right. So I think it was just not just like staying at home and like, you know what? Okay, guys, see you guys when MCO is lifted. I'm like, no, we're like, we are still communicating. We're still thinking on how to sustain. You know, we're like, okay, this is our target. This is what we're going to do.
Right.
You know, what kind of cakes are we selling? We even drove to do free deliveries with the team. So it was, you know, when you think about it, it's crazy.
Yeah. It sounds like a lot of hard work. But also, again, like you said, I think that that reminding is really important. And especially, like you said, during the pandemic, there was so much focus on the smaller businesses.
Yeah.
And I think for someone who grew so fast and, you know, sometimes people might have the perception of like, oh, they're big, they'll be fine.
They're okay.
At the heart of it, you're still a local business that also needs that support.
Yeah, that's right.
That's really interesting to know. Now, okay, Gula Creamy came from taking your slices and making them into scoops. Roti Jala, obviously, that's a very Malaysian and very home comfort food kind of thing. You then stepped into the Mexican eatery space.
I know.
Where did that come from?
Oh my God.
Where did El Ocho come from? Also, what does El Ocho even mean?
Okay, so El Ocho means number 8, all right? So basically what we were thinking about is I love to eat Mexican food.
Right.
And then at that time, we just had this one lot right in front of Andra. And I'm like, that's empty. What are you going to do with it? They were like, oh, we're going to bring some vendors in. No, I'm going to take that spot. But what am I going to do? I have no idea.
Right.
So I was like, I'm not going to do another Andra. Then you're just like putting more tables and chairs.
Right. You don't want to just extend the lot.
No. So I'm like, okay, you know what? And then I said, you know, I like Mexican food. And there's not many Mexican food, you know, outside, you know, except for, you know, being like a Muslim. So you want something that is non-alcoholic and things like that. So I felt that the target market was there. So, and then my team. So actually, El Ocho means number 8. So I actually have my share partners and they're actually my chefs.
Oh.
Yeah. So my
talk about ownership.
I know. So one of my chefs were actually having a Mexican business before back then. So, you know, we worked together really well. So we said, let's come up with all the Mexican menus. And, you know, I love to do research on new menus. So that's where El Ocho came into the picture. And it's doing so well right now.
That's
fascinating.
I love that you actually extended that to, you know, your chefs. And these are people who have been with you for years.
Yeah.
And, you know, to kind of reward that employee loyalty as well. And then give them that amount of ownership and take them on board. And also let them lead with their previous experience and utilize that. That's like just, it's very clever resource utilizing, I think.
Yeah, and I feel that, you know, El Ocho means number eight. And I love the story, how I tell people that, hey, you know what, those are my chefs and they're working so hard.
Mm.
And come and support. And I think it always goes back to, you know, what you feel like saying to people. And, you know, the personal touch. You know, I always say it's a personal touch that matters. You know?
Wow. I mean, incredible. Now, obviously for you, the growth isn't stopping anytime soon. There has been no, barely even a wrinkle or a slowdown in your entrepreneurship journey at all. You're also expanding outside of KL.
Yes.
You're going to Malacca next.
Yes.
Why Malacca?
Actually, we have an outlet in Malacca 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So my husband has a lot of Malacca friends at that time. So when we first got married, he said, right, baby, I have like a Malacca space for you. Do you want to put your cakes there? I'm like, what? Malacca? My cakes from like Kota Kemuning? Are you crazy? You're going to drive? And then, you know, he said, why don't I just do it? And the queue was massive when we first opened up 3 years ago at Malacca. So I said, okay, this looks interesting.
Right.
So we were driving to bring the cakes every day for delivery from Kota Kemuning to Malacca.
Wow.
Every day, 2 hours. Mm-hmm. We bought a car to just, and the aircon was full blast to send the cakes.
Yeah.
And then it was actually a government's building. So they took over the building for renovation. So we put that on hold. So this week, we're actually opening our Malacca outlet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
okay.
So this week, opening the Malacca outlet. So I'm going to stay there for a while. So I'll be like moving out with the kids. So over there, it's going to be a new concept. You know, in Malacca, it has been heritage. You know, if you go to Malacca, it's like heritage, chendol.
So are you not bringing Gula Cakery to Malacca? It's something new entirely?
So it's actually called Malaika by Gula Cakery. So Malaika is actually my daughter's name. So I just find it like Malaika and Malacca. Like, you know, it rhymes.
Wow.
So the name is Malaika. So I wanted the brand to be very feminine, you know, very sweet, like my daughter, like, you know, got like cheerful side, and then it's flowery, and it's a different concept in Malacca. Malacca has always been heritage, lots of plants, lots of trees,
focusing on the natural.
Yeah, right. So I think now I'm doing it with like the Paris vibe, because I visited Paris last month, so I wanted it to be more feminine.
And that is also your baking background, if I'm not mistaken,
yeah,
as well.
That's
you did
right.
have some baking culinary education in Paris.
Yeah, in Paris, that's right. So I felt that I wanted to bring that in Malacca, and I hope that my customers would love the new concept there. I mean, I think it's going to be like the most beautiful outlet, because I think that's my 13th outlet already. So
yeah.
I've grown into designing like a better space.
I think also, you know, when you are in, you know, the thick of it for so long as well, you start to kind of take different things on hands-on that you maybe wouldn't have thought to do, you know, when you first started out, right?
So I think when it's a 13th outlet, I feel that there's, you know, trendy things that you can follow, you know, like people, how they like a different vibe. So I'm very excited for the latest outlet in Malacca.
Fantastic. I don't know if I even dare to ask what is even next after that for you, because it just seems like the, you know, the train keeps on chugging. But what is next? I mean, what are you looking for?
All right. So I think after Malacca, it's all about enhancing all of the outlets. So I just want to like not expand at the moment, but I really just want to settle down with
refine.
The team, going back, tuning in with the menus, you know, thinking back whether, you know, I should be changing the menus or, you know, doing different things.
Right.
But it's more about managing the people
and
getting things done together, you know, not expanding anymore, not getting new people, you know, because with Malacca, I'm already adding another 30 more staffs in my, you know.
So that'll take it to 180.
So I think after Malacca, I would just, you know,
take a little breather,
you know?
But go back, fine tune, you know, the pre-existing outlets, and just see what can we improve before you get back into that growth,
and then like motivating the team, going out with the team, you know, spending time with the family. So I think it's more about that after this.
And I think also, you know, throughout the pandemic as well, you know, even though obviously as F&B outlets you were still allowed to keep operating, but there was still that kind of isolation, like you couldn't really, like, you know, do mass meetings with your teams, and especially for you who has so much stuff, like you can't really spend that much time with everyone. So I think, you know, as now we're sort of moving a little bit into endemicity, like this is the moment of like, let's just regroup. Let's just back together, right?
I just want to plan for our annual dinner, bringing the seniors for a trip to Langkawi maybe, you know, just getting things with the team.
Right.
So I think that's like the whole idea after this.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Aryani, for joining me on Open for Business today.
Thank you.
I am Christine Wong. This has been Open for Business. I've been speaking to Aryani Ritsal, the founder of Gula Cakery. If you've missed any of today's conversation, you can go and download the BFM app. It is on the Apple App Store and Google Play, and you can listen to our podcast whenever you want on there, which is absolutely brilliant. Also, you can head over to our website, bfm.my. This is BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.